We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the lands and waters where we're recording from, the Worimi and Wanarua peoples. We acknowledge the Worimi and Wanarua elders, both past and present.
Who is on the field for the Newcastle Knights? Darren Tracy's first touch of the footy. Now Andrew John. Tries a little hole himself. He's close. Right. Reaches out. That's a try to Andrew John. Bruce Brick from the little halfback. And that's a good reward for a great game in his debut match for the Newcastle Knights in first grade. Andrew John scores.
Coming to you live from Worimi and Wanarua Lands, this is the Bay 53 podcast, part of the Sports Best Friends podcasting network, brought to you by your friends Bretto and the K-Dog. Bretto, no intros necessary for this special recording session. We couldn't wait to get right into it. How good, I ask you, how very, very good was Friday night?
Mate, honestly, it's one of those nights where you sort of go into the thing thinking, this could be the biggest disaster in history, but then you win, you come out going, we're back, baby.
So it's like, I was getting goosebumps when you just uttered the word honestly. Like, I was getting goosebumps just, reliving that post-game excitement. We don't really have any set agenda as to how we're going to talk about things today. We're really just going to let rip. But can I say to you, like, something that's just immediately come to mind, I know the Warriors result didn't go our way, and I know there was a bit of tension in the Melbourne Storm game, but if I'm being honest, I kind of feel like the last three games from a rugby league perspective have actually been enjoyable games to watch.
Yeah, you're right. No, I actually sat down over the day yesterday and I rewatched this week's game, but I actually went back and watched the previous two because you told me the Melbourne game, all the good signs, and I was happy we won, but I don't think we played that well. And you guys were up on last week, and I know for some reason I was down about the performance, but listen to a lot of pods this week. Everyone's the non-Knights fans are going, the Knights played really well. That was a game between two good teams. The Warriors were at home, so they won. And so I thought, okay. So I went back and had a look yesterday, and you're right. Melbourne was good. The Warriors was better, and we got the job done last night, and that now needs to be another step forward this week to the Roosters.
Bretto, I want to start the pod by giving you a shout out in terms of I probably went too defensive with the team and the preparation in terms of our preseason, and I sort of tried to ignore the Fiji trip as much as I possibly could. I think you were absolutely spot on that the Fiji trip in hindsight was an awful idea, because if anybody hasn't listened to our previous pod, I really do suggest you do, because that's going to inform a lot of my takes, not just for this episode, probably for the rest of the season, subject to results. If what I have to say is right in terms of what Adam O'Brien wants to do by way of managing this season on a half to like 40 minutes to 40 minutes basis and managing our forwards, yeah, you're spot on. A trip to Fiji, Townsville and New Zealand in the space of about 6 weeks, awful idea. It's just an awful idea.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, as I said previously, you know, I've played in those sort of conditions before, and it's taxing just existing in those temperatures without actually playing rugby league. Throw in 6-hour flight each way, plus a 2-hour coach trip down to Sydney to get on there, plus all the fucking around in customs and whatnot. It was just an unnecessary trip with knowing that we've got Townsville and Auckland in the first month.
I did a post on Twitter, I think after the Warriors game, and that sort of came up for a little bit of backlash in terms of me looking for excuses before Friday night. It's funny, I don't think, and I'm not saying we're the only ones that suffer from this, can I say? I genuinely don't care what other teams have to do by way of preparation, but I think it's something that gets lost a little bit about Newcastle in terms of when we do have to travel to Auckland. It's not a New Zealand to Auckland trip for us. Like you've just said, it's a 2 to 2.5 hour bus trip. And when you sort of factor in, well, waiting around, like that's essentially 2 long-haul trips that we have to not only do but wait for. It's actually not easy for Newcastle. I'm going to assume Newcastle, Canberra. We probably, like, those are the two teams that probably get hit the hardest with it when it comes to traveling overseas.
Cowboys get the bad one because they get a 2-hour flight to Brisbane, then stuff around in Brisbane.
Oh, do that, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's Cowboys. But other than them, yeah, it's us in Canberra.
So I don't think people appreciate that. All I was trying to say was, I was like, you look at what we had, like, because we couldn't leave New Zealand until the following Monday. So that's all day that you're traveling there. And as I'm trying to say at the moment is that we that really only left us three clear days. You know, we had 5 days turnaround, but there's only really 3 days you have to get ready for the next game because you're not going to do anything on game day. You want to be fresh so you can play later that night. And when you think about three clear days compared to what other teams might have with a seven-day turnaround, those 2 days, you know, 3 to 5 days makes such a huge difference. So that's all I was sort of trying to say in terms of that was like, you know, I think we need to appreciate that when it comes to the Knights game on Friday. And then you throw in those torrential conditions. I think what the team achieved both against the Warriors and against the Dragons is a really impressive effort in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that and that's the thing. And that's, as I said, sitting down in the cold light of day yesterday and just watching the games and, you know, having a clearer think about the travel and all that sort of stuff. I think that Adam O'Brien, he'll be happy. You know, he's got one win, one loss. Obviously, he prefers the 2 wins, but he's got 2 good performances. And at this stage of the season, that's, you know, what you're looking for.
We didn't record after the Warriors game. So it's probably something that we sort of have to, well, I'm happy to have a chat about it. I think because I was drinking at the minutes management Kool-Aid, I was probably a lot happier with the outcome of that game. I accept this following bit sounds like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, but more, I think a defensive lap on Wade Egan in the first half, combined with a Roger Tuivasa-Sheck sort of miracle touch, you know, intercept for a ball back inside to Kalen Ponga. For me, there's your 6 point, there's your 12 point sort of turnaround, where a 20 to 12 loss, which we suffered last year as well, that quite easily could have been an 18 to 14 win. So I'm not saying that that's acceptable, but when you're looking at a performance of a team, when the result sometimes boils down to a couple of more moments, I think you could be disappointed with the loss, but still comfortable with the way the team was performing. And that's how I sort of felt at the end of the Warriors game.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the thing. Like, me, I think it's probably a bit to do with the fact that others are higher on the Warriors than I were. And I'm not sure. And I still don't think the Warriors are this elite team people think they are. But I think they've sort of gone on well enough from last year that at this stage of the season, they're one of the better sides. So I think the fact that I was probably a little lower on them than most was, to me, I found that loss disappointing. But as I said, going back and watching it and just watching without any emotion in there, just realizing they played really good, solid football at home and defended really well. And you're right, a few things go the other way and we win the game. So you can't be too disappointed in that. You know, they've come out yesterday and, you know, and Souths are great, but they've absolutely shellacked them in Sydney. As I said, Adzi's probably going to come out of that fortnight going, okay, we've got one win, one loss, and 2 good performances with the turnarounds. You'll be pretty happy.
One player who I was very comfortable to sort of highlight that they needed to lift, and I think they did against the Dragons, I thought Dan Saifidi had a really disappointing game against the Warriors. And I'm sort of happy not to be too critical in terms of, you know, what he's contributing to the team at the moment. But the problem for Dan Saifidi at the moment is that if he wants to be an elite impact bench player, we're paying him too much. So he had an opportunity. And again, we don't know what the coaches are telling these players to do or not to do. But if he's given a starting role opportunity, it really did feel quite disappointing, the output we got from him, again, in a game where such close margin, like small margins and moments mattered. I thought he had a lot to make up for against the Dragons, which he ultimately did. But yeah, he didn't have the best game against the Warriors.
No, he was flat out awful. 63 metres starting at prop, flat out awful, you know. And you're right, a chance to start again, prove to the coach, hey, maybe I should be starting. We certainly pay him as an elite starting prop at, you know, 700,000 to 800,000, whatever he's on. And he's up against, you know, him and Jacob's best mate, and Mitch Barnett, another, you know, one of the elite props in the competition, Adam Fanuel Blake. You know, you think that competitive juice would get flying, but no, he was flat out awful.
I think the biggest highlight to sort of come out of the Warriors game, though, was the emergence of KP. I think he's had a bit of a slow start to the season, and it was good to sort of see him. I thought he really seemed to enjoy the battle with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and they're two different sorts of players. But I was I thought him and it's going back a bit now. I thought he and Frizz were probably our two best over in Auckland.
Yeah, no, definitely. They were the absolute standouts. KP really, really sort of started to rise. I think that that gun pass he threw in the Melbourne game sort of, just gave him that clear confidence. Even the best players, need something early in the season just to get the juices flowing. And I think that sort of got the juices flowing for him. And, the battle between him and Roger was outstanding. But it sort of showed the difference in the modern game. Like, I know everyone was talking about Roger's performance and he's nearly 300 metres, but they were way better in attack yesterday with Chance at fullback, because Chance has got the ability to ball play. It sort of shows, the idea that KP needs to run with 300 metres is rubbish, because that's not what the elite modern fullbacks do. Dylan Edwards does it, but, and he's, people call him elite, and he's certainly very good, but I'd be interested, how we went outside the Penrith system. But like your Rich Walsh's, your KP's, Teddy's a sort of mix of both. Those guys aren't pure meter eaters.
What sort of came out of the Warriors game? I think what am I trying to say? I think what came out of the Warriors game for me was that, and this is what I was holding on to hope for in terms of the Dragons game, but suddenly for me the result mattered even more, because I think if we don't get a win out of the Dragons game, then everything that we've sort of achieved performance-wise in those first 4 to 5 rounds, I don't want to say it's meaningless, but for me, I really do think when you factor in the Fiji trip plus the two big, because New Zealand and Townsville are really our biggest trips for the year. I think when you factor those in, I just got the impression O'Brien was just trying to get to round 5. And again, noting that we had the Dragons game on it. Because the Knights team have now played 3 games in 12 days. And I know that doesn't sound like most teams sort of, at worst, I think they're going to play 3 games in 15 days. But those 2 extra days of recovery are everything. Like, somebody go to a gym for the first time and know how you feel 2 days later, and that recovery all of a sudden starts to become everything. So I think they knew going into this season that rounds 3, 4, and 5, we had 3 games in 12 days with one of their biggest trips in the middle of it. I really did get the feeling that when we got to the end of the Warriors game, and we'll get to Frizzell's injury in a while, but when he looked at the state of the performance and the health of the players, I really do think internally, I'm not going to say he knew this was how the results would fall, but I think he really was comfortable and, to be honest, overall pleased with the state of the team coming back to Newcastle after Auckland.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I think going into that first 5 weeks, just sort of how it's played out, I think Adzi was sort of planning on 3-2 with no injury. I think Canberra was a spanner in the works. We laid the egg in the first week, and that sort of threw everything. If we're 3-2, not 2-3, after going to Auckland and Townsville and our narrow losses, everything's rosy.
Can I also say, I don't even think it's the loss to Canberra. I really do think that the Inari Tuala injury is the spanner in the works. So I think once Tuala went off, and I'm not saying we threw in the towel, but I think he sort of
threw out the whole rhythm.
And that's it. And again, how do I say this without saying, I don't even think it was a case of, one player is injured, so we're screwed. But I think it was more, look, KP, you're getting headhunted quite hard in that first half. We've lost our winger. I've got a back rower in the centres now. Boys, you play to your level and the result will be what the result will be. And then I think the further loss of Dylan, he was just like, look, we're not winning a comp in the first round. Let's just keep everybody injury free and limit the damage. So I genuinely do think that the Canberra result was a spanner in the works, but more so because injuries just didn't allow us to sort of play the style that we wanted to. So I definitely think we drew it back in. But I think starting from Friday night, our season really does start, because we've got 2 wins, 3 losses. And as we've seen over this weekend, we're now not really going to be very far off other teams. We don't have to travel too far anymore for the rest of the season. I still think this is a team now that is capable of getting 14 wins out of their last 19 games to get the 16 wins that puts us in the top 4.
I mean, we're at worst after this weekend, I'll win off second.
Correct.
You know, when And we're recording this before the Cowboys play today. If they happen to somehow lay an egg, we'd be one win off first. You know, like it's sort of as much as we, you know, 2-3 is not what we want to be. No one's got away from us.
Having said all of that, though, I mean, 2020, hindsight is always 2020 when you're looking back after the fact. Let's go back to last week. All right. The Knights are, you know, we're 1-3 going into another home clash with a team that loves playing in Newcastle more than we do. I think Mad Dragons Vodcast had a stat out where the Knights actually have a 57% winning rate at home, which I think is extraordinary for this club. But there's some sort of this has to be only in the NRL era where the Dragons have won 16 out of their 23 games that they've played up in Newcastle. And the other reason I say, because they must have played more than 23 times up in Newcastle since the club was founded. Oh, maybe not.
Unless he's including just St. George before that.
Yeah, true. Anyway, in whatever, for whatever reason, it was nervous enough coming up against a bogey team that everybody sort of, that we get very tense playing the Dragons at home. But then news starts to filter out that Frizzell's definitely out and KPP's looking iffy. So it really was, you know, butt cheek clenching time by about late Wednesday afternoon as the game was starting to approach.
Yeah, I was really worried about, because we knew the hurricane was coming, and then once you hear Frizz is out and you think, oh, I mean, that's Frizz conditions. And then, you know, KPP is a chance of missing. And we miss them both back rowers. It's all, you know, you can throw Dylan into one edge, but then you've got another edge with either someone out of position or someone very inexperienced. It's, I was starting to get the old butt clench happening. Without Fridge out, you know, and the butt clenched and whatnot, I was just could not believe that they'll get them do us again. And that's what I just thought. I thought, oh, my God.
Can I ask you, Bretto? Do you think Frizz actually hurt? Because what we're hearing is that he hurt himself in training last week. And based on Adam O'Brien's post-game press conference on Friday, quite badly. But do you think he injured himself against the Warriors at all? Because he only played 60 minutes that game. We thought that was minutes management.
No, he played 80. He played 60 the week before.
Oh, did he play 80 against the Warriors, did he?
He played 80 against the Warriors. It was 60 the week before.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so no, he's definitely done it in training then.
Yeah.
I think so. I'll let you in on a little secret now. Or at least I'll let our listeners in on a little secret. As you sort of reminded a lot of our followers online during the week, you and I lived through the ultimate Knights heartache experience at the 2020 COVID game against the Bulldogs in horrifically and those conditions that day. In a lot of ways, were worse before and after the game from a navigating to and from the ground perspective. And there's the now borderline iconic photo you've taken of me after the game, just completely down in the dumps, beyond despair as the rain powers down on me, just thinking, how can it get any worse? In a lot of ways, you sort of thought, well, this is an opportunity to lay some of those demons to rest. I told you that I, in fact, wanted to go further back than that, because the demons I wanted to lay to rest was an equally awful weathered game against the Dragons once again, at home once again, in round five once again, all the way back to 2015, where we'd had the now infamous 4-0 start and we were the hot favourites at home. And we ended up losing to the Dragons that night, who weren't playing particularly well, mind you. And that, of course, set the rot that resulted in the first of three consecutive wooden spoons and the removal of Rick Stone. That was the game that was actually on my mind going into Friday night, because the predicament we sort of found ourselves in, aside from that must-win nature of it, but we certainly were favourites going into that game on Friday night. I was really nervous given the conditions that we were going to see a repeat of that.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that until you mentioned it to me. So I went back and, just had a look at that, and you're absolutely right. It was And then the memories came flooding back, and I said, oh, my God, how close to destruction were we this week? You know, like, well, could Friday night have been the beginning of the end again? It was just, I can't believe you lived with that all week.
You are listening to the Bay 53 podcast.
So as a lot of our followers might know, Bretto and I sort of respectively follow Liverpool and Arsenal in the Premier League. And you and I have both experienced quite significant premiership droughts from an EPL perspective. 30 years in your case, mine 20 years ongoing for Arsenal. And it was funny, I was listening to someone talk about Arsenal a couple of weeks ago. And he was talking about this thing about the connection you have with the team. Now, you don't have to be in any particular code when it comes to your club team to be aware of the idea, of the nature, or even of the importance that you have of that connection to the team. But something I did want to talk about is how easily influenced that connection can be sometimes. And I think about the connection that we've had with this team, and I'll talk about the connection we sort of had with the Halcyon days, or I call it the Andrew Johns era. That was such a strong connection that I think sort of set a baseline, or at least a lot of groundwork for how we've looked at the team over the last 20 years. But I think it's fair to say that post Andrew Johns, the connection with the team, and given what we've been through, has been very conflicted. And what I wanted to say was, you know what, the best thing about that 10-game winning streak last year, it wasn't even the reconnection with the team, but it was just the way you felt good about them again. And someone was saying on an Arsenal podcast that, you know, Arsenal once again are having this incredible season. They're in a title run. And he said, I don't care if we don't win the Premier League or a Champions League trophy this year. But he said, what I don't want to happen is that we lose it in a manner that tarnishes this new connection that I've got with the team. And it was finally, the way he explained it then was that it's the struggle I've been having with the Knights this season. Because win, lose or draw, we've always said as Knights fans, you know, we stick to this team. You know, through thick and thin, we've been there, we almost folded, we've stayed with this team, we kept showing up. But the connection that we developed with the team last year, I think with or without the wins, it was the way they started playing and the way they started representing us. That was the connection that came back. And the hardest part about looking past results this year to stick to the way they're performing has been, it wasn't the winning for me last year. It was that reconnecting with the team that I don't want to lose. And in a lot of ways, what I saw on Friday night was a near complete performance from them, because we'll talk about it in great detail. But Brett, I want to make sure I don't forget three instances, the two kickoffs that we stuffed up and the miracle try to the Dragons. The way that team responded to those three instances reminded me of the connection that I've redeveloped with this team. And that's, I think, where I've started to get nervous to start this season was, I don't want to lose this newfound connection that I've found with them, because I'm really enjoying that ride.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And it's a real, and that's the thing maybe I've struggled with this year especially, but probably sort of, you know, until we really kicked in the year last year, where I keep just waiting for the moment where they break me again. Yeah. And I just had this sick feeling in my gut, especially once that miracle flick out the back to bloody Hunt. I just thought, here we go. This is it. This is the moment. This is the moment where, you know, 6 months of good vibes are just going to all disappear. And thankfully it didn't happen.
So I think when you know, it was understandable that we were all nervous going into the game, but I think that's why I really did make a concerted effort to look past the results. And I think I was actually saying to a good friend of the pod, Harry Ramage, let's look at the season up till Friday, as I think the coaches are, which is 40-minute segments. And if you really think about it, we've actually only had two bad 40-minute segments all season, the second half against the Raiders and the second half against the Cowboys. So if you were looking at 8 40-minute periods going into Friday, we'd actually had six really good 40-minute portions of performance, which outweighs. But the problem is that the bad 40 minutes were so bad, that's what was sticking in our head. But I think going into Friday night, the inclusion of a fresh Leo Thompson, the inclusion of a fresh Dane Gagai, and bringing in Jaden Brayley, who essentially, he's not fresh, he played against the Warriors, but now he's tapered into being, you know, starting hooker. I think having those three players in not only counterbalanced the loss of Frizzell, but it also was a great way to counteract that that 3 days of preparation that we had for a 5 day turnaround after the trip. I genuinely did think that if that team was anyone other than the Newcastle Knights, with the Newcastle Knights history hovering over them, you would have been quite comfortable being confident going into a home game against the Dragons.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the thing. On paper, and, you know, and where the teams ahead and have been, we should just win that game. You know, it shouldn't even really be in doubt, you know. And I realise many big upsets, but reality is that, you know, 9 times out of 10, we should be winning that game. But as Knights fans, we're probably thinking, you know, we're 50-50, 60-40 at best. And it's the history with the Dragons, so they seem to, you know, grow a leg up here. But it's just that history with ourselves and our club. The reality, like, it sounds really pessimistic, but we are. We a lot of times we just wait to be disappointed by it. But credit to the boys. They, you know, they could have quite easily used the travel as an excuse, and it was never an excuse in the build-up. You know, AAB mentioned the travel, but he didn't ever say it was an excuse. And the boys come out and perform like they'd had 10 days off.
I think for me, I was comfortable. So I'm actually not going to say I was confident going into the game. I'd probably say more I was comfortable. I probably wasn't confident in terms of the result, though, until we scored that try in response to the Ben Hunt go-ahead try. Because when we scored the first try, and look, you know, Jackson Hastings, you and I sort of have strong opinions on Jackson Hastings, if only because we're rugby league fans and everybody else seems to have strong opinions on Jackson Hastings. He's the type of polarizing player, not from the perspective that you either love him or hate him, but one week you love him and the next week you don't seem to love him as much. So he creates that polarity even within individual fans. But I will say this about Jackson is that he could have come up for a lot of criticism by the way he might have handled going to reserve grade, ticked that box. And I think the way he played on Friday night was just the perfect response you want from a playmaker who has been out of the team for 2 weeks. I just thought he did exactly what he needed to do. And so, yeah, we as a fan base were happy to celebrate with him scoring the opening try upon his return into the NRL.
Yeah, the worry is, especially with a half, they're going to come back in and try to overplay their hand. You know, they're going to be so keen to show they should never have been dropped that they'll overplay it. But Jacko just slid straight back into his role, and it's like he never missed a week. If anything, you could actually see that, you know, the cup had done him the world of good because he seemed to have a bit more confidence in his body.
So we got that opening try. And the other funny thing is, so what's Kalen's conversion rate streak at now? I think it's something like 15, 16.
So two for Canberra. Four in Townsville?
That's six.
Three in Melbourne, seven.
Nine.
Then we've got, what'd we have? Two in New Zealand.
Yep, so that's 11.
Yeah, then what'd we get? Five this week, 16.
16. So the first one was a gimme. I was amazed that he got the one from the sideline when Tuala scored in the 24th minute. And in fact, because we were we're cowards when it comes to weather. You know, we're all for Mr. Snorkelman who got good footage on the TV coverage, and power to you, brother. But I also like being dry, and so we went right up to the back of the stadium.
Not that we were dry up the back, we're still.
Yeah. but from where we were sitting, you actually didn't get the good angle that you did on the TV coverage, just to see how well Kalen actually did manage those conditions to land the conversion. And in fact, Zach Lomax, to his credit as well, I thought did very well with his conversion of the Ben Hunt try. But I think for me, once KP got that that conversion and gave us back the lead 12-10, the game itself, it literally plays out. You go back and look at it and history will tell you. We didn't look back after that. And so I thought, I want to be careful in terms of rewriting narratives at the flick of a switch or at the click of fingers. But part of me sort of hopes that we've seen enough under the O'Brien era now where that mentality deficiency aspect of this Knights team is perhaps something we can, is it something that we can lay to rest? Because I think teams, even in the first, you know, what, 2 or 3 years of Adam O'Brien, probably don't respond the way we did on Friday night, and again in those conditions. And that was the response that gave me confidence that are we allowed to let ourselves start to think that this is a new Newcastle team?
We are. There's no doubt this team is new. To me, there's still that bubbling thing of when the game really turns against us, we can't seem to stop that, which is what good teams can do. But in terms of just completely shitting the bed, because, yeah, that's what the Knights do. No, that's not this team. This team don't just drop their bundle. But, yeah, as I said, until they show the ability to turn games around in terms of, you know, the Cowboys game, for example, you know, once they took momentum, we haven't shown the ability now to completely stop that and then turn it around back where we just win the game, like a Melbourne or a Penrith would. Mm. But, yeah, but the old Knights of, oh, something's gone against us, that's it, we'll cock off for the night. Yeah, that team's not around anymore.
Just while I'm thinking about it, I do want to say I think this is probably the first time I've watched Ben Hunt closely, and not in respect of just sort of, well, let's see if this guy really does have something to offer. Oh, I've probably always rated Ben Hunt. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to say I've discovered him or anything, but it's just, you know, I do have a tendency to not rate spectacular Queensland players. Cameron Munster comes to mind. So nothing Ben Hunt did surprised me on Friday night, but I did say to you at one point, I think it's borderline criminal what the Dragons have done with Ben Hunt, the player, because they have wasted a generational talent there. Every time he had the ball in his hands, I was worried. I was clenching up going, what's he going to do to us here? And so the reason I highlight him is that he was inconsequential in the end, but I thought his reaction to the Jack Cogger grubber kick that resulted in the Dan Saifidi try, it was just pure rugby league instinct and knowledge that Ben Hunt knew, oh, fuck, if I don't get this ball, we are fucked. And his reflex reaction, and it's a fingernail in it where he misses it. Whereas you think about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck the week before, it's a fingernail in it where he bats down that try. Those are the margins that started going our way on Friday night, again, in horrific conditions. And it was just so good to see Dan Saifidi sliding through, smashing that ball down. And I won't lie to you, I was comfortable after that try, because I just thought this is a team that is switched on tonight and they're playing in those conditions, but they're controlling their opponent. And it was great to watch.
Yeah, as I said to you, that kick is... It's just to remember that anyone grew up playing park footy, because anyone who played footy down their local wet weather park would know the number one thing you do in those conditions is you absolutely smash the ball into the puddle and it stops dead. And then that's exactly what Ben Hunt knew was going to happen. Ben Hunt knew if that ball got past him, it's going to stop as soon as it hits that puddle. And Cogger knew as long as he gets it in that puddle, it'll stop. And that's exactly what happened. He drilled that thing. It would hit the fence after one bounce on a dry track.
Mitchell Pearce has been wondering, why haven't we been ordering that in goal for the last fucking 6 years?
Absolutely. It's the perfect Mitchell Pearce conditions. But, yeah, it's perfect with the footy. You smack it into the puddle and just chase like hell. And credit to the Dragons, they just decided they'd splash and see if the splash will do something. But, no, Dan got there.
Now, I think at 18 to 10, you're probably comfortable again in that weather going into halftime. Can I ask you something, Brenno? Is Dylan Lucas becoming the new utility MVP for the Newcastle Knights? Because he's got the bench quality, he's got the outside back quality, but he's got the starting back row quality that led to him... Let me put it to this. Someone said to me the try that Dylan Lucas scored to close out the half on Friday night, we didn't miss Frizzell. Like, he did it with that power and that hard running and that
person,
authority.
That person was me. it was a Tyson Frizzell try. It was not a particularly great line. It was, you give me the ball, I'm going to come off the back fence and you try and stop me. And that's exactly what he did.
And it was just great to see from someone who's still early, like it's still early in his first grade career. I found out the story after the game as well that he's actually a Wollongong reject. So he came to Newcastle solely because the family's from here, so he wanted to give it a crack. And it's just really great to see. We've said it before, it's so good to see young players that are coming into a Knights system that are starting to play with a bit of confidence and a bit of enjoyment of their footy. Because, and you know, let's face it, what we've done to players like Brock Lamb in the past, it's just good to see that not happening anymore. And so I thought Dylan's try to close out that half, 24-10. I mean, sure, there was that there's that uncertainty of the 14 point lead, but going into halftime, 24-10 up, I thought the scoreline perfectly reflected the gap between the two teams after 40 minutes.
Yeah, we're two try better side. You know, the extra goal helped too, but yeah, we're a two try better side that first half, and that, you're right, that really sort of it kind of said whereas in the Cowboys game we didn't put the foot on the throat. You know, we didn't put them away when we had the chance, and to me, it's kind of said we've learned from that. We've kind of gone, well, yeah, there's only a couple of minutes left on the clock here, but one more try splits his game wide open. So he went for the throat and, you know, and nailed it.
Some astonishing sort of stats came out of the game, if only from a completion sort of perspective, because I'm just trying to find it now. And, of course, this will be the time when I don't actually come across it. 76% completion rate. 33 out of 43 for the Newcastle Knights. Mate, let's face it, those are the kind of lofty heights for completion that you and I would be happy with this team in good conditions. I think the fact that they were able to hold on to the ball that well in ferociously wet weather was, I'll never say a statistic is more pleasing than a win, but it can't be far behind the win itself in terms of us holding the ball. Really giving, like, just being one of the more pleasing aspects to come out of the night.
And that was kind of dragged down late when, you know, the game was over. We made a couple of errors. We were in the 80s all night. In the 80s in those conditions, it's great football. Like, get a lead and control. And I did see someone go, you know, we didn't really put them away in the second half. In the second half, we played it perfectly. We just strangled them. We used the wind to play in their half.
So I want to talk to you about the second half, if only because, so if we go back to, you know, what I was sort of trying to highlight in terms of the 40-minute increments thing, I firmly believe that the only reason we didn't put the foot to the throat was the conditions themselves. I absolutely believe that there was an opportunity there to really follow on from what we're sort of doing. I don't think that final 40 minutes in terms of three games in 12 days plus the travel was too big of a factor by that stage, because you've worked your way into the game. Like, you've worked your way in physically. I think the key thing they wanted to focus on in that second half was, hey, we've been dog shit to start second halves this year, and it's cost us dearly against the Raiders and the Cowboys. You go out there and you make sure that we're still in this position after 5 minutes and close out the game. And so I thought, you know, you look at the Storm game where we sort of just held on after with 12 points scored on us in the second half. I think the key outcome that they wanted to focus was don't concede any points in the second half. And if that was the goal, big tick. Like, they nailed the brief.
Yeah, 100%. And that was kind of the pleasing aspect of that second half, was the only way we lose this game is if we beat ourselves. Because a 14-point lead in those conditions with the wind behind us, the only way, because it's not Penrith, it's not Brisbane, it's the Dragons. The only way we get beat in this game is if we beat ourselves. So the number one goal in that half was we don't beat ourselves, and we didn't.
Leo gets over the line as well. At the ground, we were too far away to sort of see that he genuinely did score an illegitimate try. You can't go through the players of the guy playing the ball. Sorry, listeners, I'm having a mare this afternoon. Absolutely understand if you want to switch off. But having said that, as strong as we wanted to be defensively, you know, unfortunately, we have done ourselves a bit of a disservice in that first round with a 16-point loss. I think it was important to still get that final try over the line, because I think 30-10 was the convincing win that this team deserved. And I think that was Kalen's first try for the season as well. So it was just good to see him getting across the line. But what I did want to highlight was, forget forget all of the management of the players and the long-term strategy. Just enjoy the play itself and eat with or without the conditions. So that was the Newcastle Knights team that we fell in love with last year. A break down the left, cut out pass out wide to the winger, and then Ari Tuala, who I want to talk a bit more about, great break on the outside, inside kick for Kalen, who picks it up perfectly in those conditions and nails it. Now, Bretto, you know, unfortunately, it's going to be a recurring theme all year, given how good Dom was for us last year. But we're not getting that from Dom Young, you know, in any conditions on a wing, because I just thought the catch, the run, the pass, it was a great rugby league try.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. We did that play with Dom, and everyone's raving about it. We don't do it with Dom, because Dom miskicks it if he tries to kick it, let's be honest. But you've also got to remember that's Greg's side. So now he's playing out of position on that side. So, yeah, so he's been training all offseason on the right wing to replace Dom. Mm. So he's on the left there. So he's kicking it back inside where he would have been practicing going the other way all offseason, which is a skill in itself at pace. And it was absolutely inch perfect where Kalen was the only one that could possibly get to it. I'd go as far as to say Inari this year would be in our top five players.
Absolutely.
Which no one would have thought at any stage this year. And I can't see how he might get out of the pecking order because we've got some real talent in the team. But I don't think there's at any stage this year Inari's ambition will be called into question.
So 168 metres run, that was off 17 runs. He only did 26 kick return metres, which in the end, it was that type of night where that wasn't a big deal. His play this ball speed was fine, but it was once again in defence, four tackles made, zero missed. You know, edge defence for 20 years has been a problem with the Knights, just run around them. And when you've got those big boys sort of running at you, on one edge, or you've got Zach Lomax on another. Although Zach Lomax and Tyrell Sloan swapped almost, I think, 2 or 3 minutes into the second half. But be that as it may, I think Tuala Island, which is really hard to say, is there's still vacancies there. But get in quick because those prices are going through the roof. I don't see that Tuala gets dropped on form this year, and a lot could happen, but I just think he's exactly the type of winger we need at the moment, and I'm just loving everything that he's bringing to the side in this season.
Yeah, the whole thing is with our team is we have points in us. Like, you know, yeah, Dom scored plenty of tries that no one else can score, no doubt about that. But the biggest concern in this club is we don't defend our errors well enough. Mm. So to me, the fact that Inari just simply doesn't make errors, that's way more important to me than Dom running around four blokes and going 80 metres.
But I think it's even more detailed than that for Inari, because you pointed it out. I know you were the one that pointed this out on Friday. You were saying the metres run were actually quite close, and I think it was 1,600 apiece. But what you were pointing out was, well, we're beating them in the middle. See, our forwards are on top of them. And we're letting them spread it wide because we think that we've got the ability to counteract that when you've got Ravalava or Lomax, or as it turned out, Sloan, trying to run around us. We're confident that we've got the men in place to stop that. And aside from the miracle pass of Zach Lomax in the second half, again, that would have been another tick in the box for 100% completed.
We defended that perfectly, that Lomax pass.
Oh,
we run him out of space. Yeah, we defended it perfectly.
But that's the importance of what our wingers have to do for us at the moment, which is why I'm going to give a little compliment to Tom Jenkins. I know Jenkins will probably go out of the team when Marju's fit to go again. But I thought Tom, you know, he hasn't had the greatest start to his career with the Knights. But I think, you know, that bit of uncertainty on his role, and he's been targeted a lot in terms of being the weak link when it comes to defending kicks. I thought he did quite well on Friday night to hold his own on the other edge where he could have been targeted given what Tuala was doing on the other side.
Yeah, and he's up against Ravalawa, you know. You know it's faced Big Michele, he's a big lad.
Well, you look at that edge, you've got Leilua into Suli into Ravalawa. That is an enormous edge.
Oh, that's 500 kilos of beef there. They are big boys. It's And let's face it, like, Tom's a solid enough boy. You know, he's got plenty of muscle about him, but he's not big. Tom did fine. Like, that kickoff he dropped was not his fault. Cogs put him off. Like, that was all Cogs run across the front of him. And whoever caught it doesn't matter. Cogs should have stayed out of the way. Tom did fine. And Tom did the exact same thing we're talking about. Like, Luch and Suli loved that flick pass, but they loved to drift across to it before they throw it. And on a wet night, you just use the sideline. Just let them keep going that way, knowing that at no stage are those big boys going to straighten up and come inside you, because you just can't hold your footing in those conditions.
I'm no expert. I just love the game. But more than that, I love the community. If you're a fan of rugby league or the NRL, you'll love Big T's Tees. Unique, affordable, and made for fans. Find a link to the online store in the show notes below. You'd look good in one of Big T's Tees.
Do you want to talk about the forwards, mate? Because I think...
You know I love a big beefy boy.
I know you do. And I think, as much as... I don't think we were overawed by the Warriors pack. I thought they won on points. And when you've got AFB in your side, and Mitch Barnett loves aiming up to his old team, so that's fine. Okay, you got the win there. But I thought they responded really well for a team that I think was trying to control themselves on Sunday in preparation to make sure that they could be at their best for Friday. And I thought, if that's the case, you know, mission accomplished for our forwards. A fresh Leo Thompson, 132. Jacob Saifidi, 133. Kai Pierce-Paul, 135. Adam Ellis. So all of our starting forwards, minus obviously Jaden Brayley, they ran for 100 or more meters. But I think the big one there is Daniel Saifidi coming on, giving us that $800,000 worth of impact, and maintaining the rage with 139 meters run off 12 carries. Nearly half of that was post-contact meters as well, which is great. Dan's play the ball speed was phenomenal.
That's the thing with Dan. Like, that's what we forget. And it's why we all used to love Dan, because when Dan is dominant, his play the ball is one of the best in the NRL. He can absolutely control the game through the middle purely on his play the ball speed, getting onto his front and getting straight up. And with a dummy half like Jaden, it's a huge weapon in our arsenal if we get it together.
And I think that's probably been the hardest thing about Dan, is getting that from him consistently. So it was really good to see him respond to what we thought was a below par performance against the Warriors. And you and I are absolutely adamant, if we can get a really strong prop rotation out of the Saifidis, Thompson and Jack Hetherington, the sky's the limit for this forward pack. Like, they should hold. I'm not saying they're better than every forward pack, and you pointed out to me, Penrith, Broncos, you know, that they are the benchmark at the moment when fit. But again, you look at the performance. With the performance they've got in them, they may be outperformed, but they shouldn't. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? They shouldn't go into any game going, oh, we're not sure we've got the cover. They should go into every game now going, we've got the quality here to aim up for what this team needs us to provide.
Yeah, well, Heather's our fourth string middle prop forward, and he'd start for a lot of teams. Like, I can probably near enough to half the NRL teams in the competition Heather starts for. That's the sort of depth we've got. But we just haven't got consistency of effort outside of Leo. Leo's 9 out of 10 every week. No issues there. To me, he's the legitimate new chief. He's the future captain of the club.
Yep.
But it's the other three. They're all uber talented. But there's just no consistency. If we can get out of those guys, throw in the fact that we've got, you know, one of the most experienced, you know, edge guys in the competition in Tyson, and one of the most excited young guys in KPP, you throw that in with Adam Elliott, who, you know, will always do a job for you at lock. It's a really good forward pack. You know, we're not the elite of the elite, but I'd say we're sitting in that sort of fifth, sixth, seventh sort of bracket. Throw that in with, you know, with a guy like Kalen, is it like we really should be in the top handful of teams.
So again, like I said, when it came to Leo, I really do think that the juice wasn't going to be worth the squeeze in terms of rolling the dice against the judiciary. All right, I fit a couple of metaphors into that one, but it is worth noting. So we got 52 minutes out of Leo on Friday night. And he was the most minutes we got out of our four prop forwards. Again, bearing in mind, he was the fresh set of legs. So I think it made sense for us to say, take the week, rest up, we'll see what we can do in Auckland, but you need to be ready to go against the Dragons on Friday night, and he still delivered. So I think there's a lot to like about, well, there's obviously a lot to like about the forwards, but again, it's another 80-minute performance from our new emerging star back rower, Kai Pierce-Paul. 80 minutes for 135 metres run. And once again, I think he only came up with, just a quiet 30 tackles. I mean, this kid, five rounds in, is still a long way to go in the season. But I mean, what more can you ask from someone in their debut season and in the forwards as well? He's not just sitting out on the wing catching the last pass to score some flashy tries. This kid is doing the hard yards. And he did, granted, Friday night probably felt like he was back home again, but you know, this is a phenomenal sort of start to a first grade career in the NRL that I think is flying under the broader radar, which I'm really happy about because I don't want anybody else talking about it and hyping him up. You know, he's ours and he's doing this incredible job for us.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the hype's great. Everyone loves the hype, but you just don't need it. Like, guys don't need that distraction, do they? He does no one any favors. Like lots of other people that I think have good opinions on rugby league, you know, in the social media space, you know, whether it's podcasts or Twitter, all rating that I thought people rated him because you don't hear much of it in the mainstream media. But no, everyone that I think knows rugby league rates him as highly as we do, which is great because that's the people you want to rate him, not the idiots on TV. Because that's when, you know, that's when you end up with the Dom situation where, you know, the hype gets so out of control that one of the big clubs throw ridiculous money at someone.
Great win for, look, it was, I think it's a famous win for the team. A 20-point win in any conditions, but those conditions, especially, it's a famous win for this team that gets us a 2-3. And those two wins after five rounds of, the way this has all panned out, I think we've laid a platform for the rest of the season, the last 19 games, where I'm not convinced we're going to take it as slow as we have been over the first few rounds. So we were looking at, and again, you can't look too far ahead. So I think eight rounds ahead is far enough for us. But you look at the draw, and surely with the performances we've seen so far, the coaches have started to talk with the players. We can factor in results now. Surely at 2-3 after five rounds, with this team is starting to fire. We're going to get Greg coming back in. Frizzell will come back. We don't know when, but surely now they can start to say, right, we want to start moving up the table. Or do you think it's still too early for that? Do you still think now they're sort of working on the basis performance is everything until the first bye? Let's just see where we're at by then.
I'm still a believer of, at the moment, you know, we've got a couple of injuries, but hopefully Greg back this week. Tyson's really the only injury. We've got a good, you know, we've got a good run in terms of we're not, you know, we're playing teams that are at our level or slightly below the next little bit. Let's take advantage. You don't know what's going to happen in 2 months' time. You know, does KP get injured? You know, do we have a halves crisis? You know, does Browns get hurt again? To me, you've got to sort of take advantage of these games that are very winnable with a nearly near full strength squad. It's a big risk to go, we'll get them later. Because as I said, you don't know what's going to happen. It's rugby league, you know. We could have four guys go down in a week. It's happened to plenty of teams this year.
Well, it's happened to the Roosters, and we will obviously get to them in a second. But it's funny that you should say that, because their next three are Roosters, Bulldogs, Dolphins, and they haven't come out of this round particularly well. And again, that's why I want to go back to, you know, Adam O'Brien talking after that round two loss about the performance rather than the result is starting to ring true, because he's probably seen us. Like, how many times, Brett, how many times over the last 10, 15 years have we said after round three and four, we've already got so many injuries, we're already screwed? And it's almost like O'Brien looked at it just as recently as last year. Suspensions and injuries, we were cooked by round five. So it's almost like O'Brien has looked at that and said, and you said yourself, why use the first few rounds as your preseason? You've got your preseason to do that. Well, maybe this is why he's used the first few rounds as another preseason. because there's nothing you can't. We even said it. You can't replicate the season conditions in the preseason. No one's taking it seriously enough. But you want to know what they are taking seriously? Competition points in the first few rounds. So it's almost like they've had that second preseason to work their way, their fitness into this, into round five and round six, where we're healthy, we're firing, and we're ready to perform. And don't get me wrong, it's a gamble. But you look at the next three teams that we're playing, the Roosters, they've lost players to HIAs and suspension. The Bulldogs, Gus Gould sent out, it would have been easier for him to name the players that are fit. And even the Dolphins, they've lost Flegler and Herbie. So we, on the other hand, have come out of the first five rounds relatively fit. So we've put ourselves in a great position now for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I completely agree with a lot. Yeah, there's a luck involved in that. You know, that's
100%.
To me, that's the point. Yeah, there's luck involved. Like, you know, like the Herbie one, as Herbie's making a tackle, drives his shoulder in the ground at his AC joint. You know, no matter how you play in your preseason, that's going to happen in rugby league. So you're taking that risk of if you don't, you know, you don't win those early games, that yeah, things like that happen and you're in trouble. It's interesting. I think we all sort of think that Adam O'Brien is the, you know, the true Bellamy disciple. Thinks along the same way. Yeah, absolutely. The way they think about the game is very similar.
Yeah.
To me, Adam O'Brien is the one out of the Bellamy tree that's like Bellamy. But Bellamy has the approach of round one to sort of round four or five is important. You know, we want to win four of those. And then Melbourne seem to taper off. So Melbourne go hard, get points in the bank, and then sort of get, you know, fresh the bodies up. Which is different to the AAB style, which is, I always sort of thought was a bit odd, you know, because AAB coming from that system. But it's definitely a plan. There's no doubt now the AAB plan is in it. The 22 preseason, which was, you know, so
militaristic by the sounds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, how disastrous that season went has turned AAB around completely.
So we face the Roosters on Thursday night, and every Knights fan going into the, you know, moments before kickoff knew that Dom Young would not be returning next Thursday. At least he won't be on the field next Thursday night. Horrific, just a horrific night for the night for the Roosters and the Bulldogs on Friday. When you look, I can't even name all of the Bulldogs players who were injured, but
they got no props left. They're playing 10-year-old props.
But I mean, you look at the Roosters. So Sam Walker, James Tedesco, if they appear on Thursday night,
they're both officially HIA and out. So
they're out. And I think, you know, the combined loss of Dom Young, like that's three out of their four back line. You and I were concerned. Well, hang on, Teddy out. That's a plus for them because now they can let Joey Manu, who's probably the better fullback, play there, and he can carve us up like he did last year. But I don't think, you know, that should be a concern. But I don't think that's a concern that would be the tipping point for which way the result's going to go, because I think we should have learned lessons from that last year. But B, I think it'll be another classic case of, well, what are the forwards going to do? And I think you look at the way this Roosters pack is performing at the moment. Do they have another level in them? Absolutely. But should we be fearful of them? Absolutely not. And so that's why I think, you know, that we should have confidence going into Thursday night, because if Friday night was anything to go by, this is a team that's now ready to step up.
Yeah, JWH is still great. Like, he's still, yes, you know, the alpha of alphas. But he's not what he was. You know, he's not going to rip a game apart through the middle like he used to be able to. He's, you know, he just can play the minutes when needed and just leads the pack around the field. But Lindsay Collins, to me, is in the top sort of five props in the competition, as we've seen it when he plays at Origin. But I have confidence Leo can cancel out. I have confidence Leo can play at that level. It's the next set of guys. It's your twins. It's your Heathos. If those guys could at worst cancel their opposition numbers out, we're right in that game. Because, yeah, there's no Teddy, which, as I said, I think Joey's better at fullback these days. But with no Dom, Billy Smith's injured, Marty not in the centres, their outside backs are decimated. That's where we can get him. We can cancel him out in the middle. KP and Brady can have a field day out there.
You sort of feel like Leo Thompson has fallen into a bit of a... he's missed the boat in terms of being the star forward that we sort of want to talk about? Because we've already moved on to KPP. And then the last two seasons, Leo's sort of finding his feet. And we were excited about other props. But so it's funny that we've actually overlooked just how good he was on Friday night. You and I were very high on him in the preseason, and I don't think there's anything he's done yet in the four games he's played this year that says that that excitement is misplaced. He's playing with the stop, with the type of aggression, discipline, but enjoyment of the game that you'd expect from a veteran. And as a Knights fan, that should be something really exciting to embrace for someone who wants to play for the Knights at this early stage of his career.
Yeah, it's incredible what he's doing. Like, people think, oh, prop forward, you know, you run straight, you tackle hard, how hard is it? But prop forward at the NRL level is one of the hardest positions to play. That's why not many kids are successful at doing it. That's why coaches are loathe to put young prop forwards in at NRL level. It's difficult. It's physically difficult. It's mentally difficult. And there's a lot of nuance about, you know, in your defense, in the ruck, all those. There's a lot of nuance about it. And for a guy that's only played rugby league for 3 years now and has only, you know, really been a pure prop forward for two, unbelievable the level he's got to. Like, the sky's the absolute limit for that guy. Like, I don't think he's having paid Haas, but I have no doubt he can be the second best prop in the world. That's where he's already top 10 for mine. And he's just climbing every week.
So, come Thursday night, I mean, so Frizzell's still out. And how bad do you think that injury is? Because Adam O'Brien was...
I think it's bad. The positive is that Tyson's a great healer. Always has been. So I don't think it's going to be a six-week hammy, but I think it's a bad. But I think it's a sort of what would be a six-week hammy. I think Tyson will be back in probably four.
Okay. Which... it's a funny one because, no, it's not funny. It's awful. You never want to lose. Tyson's been our best forward slash probably player this season, so you obviously don't want to lose him. But again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm, you know, trying to... given what we saw on Friday night, you should be disappointed by that, but not concerned about what the team can do without him. Does that? Because I want to be very careful that I don't go down the path of some Knights fans last year who watched us play without Kalyn Ponga and said, oh, well, his loss doesn't matter. His loss obviously matters, but we should have some confidence out of what we saw on Friday to say we can manage the loss for now. And that's me in a roundabout way sort of saying I think the Knights absolutely should be favourites going into Thursday night against the Roosters. We lost both of our game. We've lost our last two to them. And last year was a devastating, devastating loss. But I think going into next Thursday for the same... because I said to you after the game, I was always confident about how we'd go against the Dragons for a variety of reasons. I'm much less confident this time against the Roosters, not because of history against the Roosters per se, but more so because, okay, what does this team actually do with expectation now? And if I'm being honest with you, we still don't know what they do with that. There was no expectation on them on Friday night other than being bookies favourites. But aside from that, okay, the result will be what the result will be. And I thought there was enough to say that. But managing that with expectation, well, unfortunately, we kind of saw a bit of that in round one. And it wasn't great. So I'm comfortable with this team. But I'm just not sure how they're going to respond on Thursday night against a team that historically we struggle against.
Yeah, it's the Roosters coming off a really disappointing loss for them. Like, as much as
they'll be fired up,
they were terrible, and they're in the same situation they were coming up last year, where they, you know, they had a lot of injuries, they had guys out. Hmm. We were expected to win it, and they just outmuscled us. They outexperienced us. They just got a lead early and just strangled us to death. That's the way they want to play this week. What we have to do, we have to start fast. It's just, there's none of this walking into the game, getting your feet with the Roosters, because they will bury us early if we don't match up in the first 20. We have to start fast.
But see, this is the disappointing thing about what happened last year as well, because we scored the first try in that. So it's not even that we didn't start fast. We actually started quite quickly. The problem was that we thought, well, that's just going to roll on. And what I'm hoping this team now knows to do is that Well, you know how you responded to a bullshit try that, you know, was a miracle out of your backside thing, and two kickoff fuck-ups that we otherwise would have conceded to. They've showed they know how to respond in the situation. We're just not used to seeing that in a Newcastle Knights team. So that's why my hope is that with the added expectation of being favourites at home off the back of a really good win, they're working on, right, well, how do we respond to that? Because I think that's been such a problem with this club over the years, is that we're too immature to respond appropriately in the change of circumstances. And I just really feel like that's something they've been working really hard on, with saying with these boys, this team, this coaching staff. Last week's gone. It's a different set of circumstances. What do we need to do to properly prepare for the next 40 minutes? So, yeah, that's my hope in terms of what we'll see on Thursday night. But that's the problem. We don't know what the Roosters are going to come back with. And so I'm back to being nervous about it again.
Yeah. We've seen with our mate Brian, he really breaks his season out in the blocks. And you're right. And I think because of the Warriors' travel, I think that the first 5 weeks was definitely the first block he was worried about. So I think that this, you know, we're going to probably start now. The next block will be now to a magic
six
round.
Blocks.
Bye. Six, you know? Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I think that it starts again now. In terms of, you said to Adzi, like in terms of the squad, this is exactly where you want us to be. We've got one injury to an important player, but it's not KP, so it's not, you know, it's not terminal. The squad's looking really healthy. The form has been not amazing, but solid. Coming off the back of a good win, they're coming up against a team that I don't think are particularly good, but they're still the Roosters.
That's right.
You can never take them lightly. But these are the sort of games that make your season, because you turn the Dragons win into another win. We're 3-3. And then, yeah, you go up against a battered Bulldogs team who we absolutely kicked the shit out of last year twice. And rightly so, they'll be fired up to get a bit of revenge on us.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no reason. We roll this week. You know, your season's off and going. And we've seen last year that once this team gets a bit of confidence about them, you know, they can beat anybody.
I want to give a quick shout out to Gagai and Braddy Best, because I am reminded of 2022 when kick returns, big problem, but holding onto the ball, big problem as well. In fact, Gagai's ball handling possibly almost cost us against the Raiders in the final last year. They are providing to this team in a way where it's unnoticeable. And again, I go back to us. That's kind of what you want. You want to see the Knights doing well. You don't want to say, oh, it's a great thing KP had 3 try assists, 10 conversions, and 250 meters run. We would have been fucked without it. Like, we're not saying that about any individual. It's so good to, and I think what we're getting from a defensive aspect. I mean, we were even nervous going into the Warriors game, where you messaged me going, Rocco's back. Rocco Berry, he's back this weekend, and I just wonder. Also, no, who was the center? Was it Rock?
Oh, Pompey, Adam Pompey.
Sorry, Adam Pompey. You're like, I hope Braddy's not getting nightmares about it. Defensively, they're holding their own. We're getting great kick returns out of them, and there's just something fresh about them that I made the unfair comparison to them to what you see from Tungo and Taylan May for the Panthers. They're not at that level yet, don't get me wrong, but I can see enough similarities where I like what they're seeing, because, you know, two premiership performing centres for the Panthers, I can see some sort of semblance of similarities there. I'm like, yeah, I like what I'm getting from our centres as well. And I think they've had a very quiet but really solid start to the year for us.
I think it's underrated how important Dane Gagai is to this team. Every time this team needs a hard run, Dane Gagai is the one that puts his hand up. The man's 1,000 years old. but it's incredible to me. No one ever tackles him one-on-one. He'll drag 3 blokes 10 metres to get us out of a corner. Like, he's so important to this team. We missed him. A big reason why we lost in New Zealand was no gags, because we couldn't get out of our own half in the second half, because we didn't get any of those gags runs where he would, drag a bloke up the field just to get a bit of momentum, or make half a break, you know, where we get 30 metres cheaply out wide. Like, we just didn't get that, and we really missed it. And Braddy's been great. Braddy's taken up the fact that we haven't got the hard dom carries, you know, and now he's not quite the same, and especially without Greg or Dom in the last few weeks. Braddy's really taken up that meal of getting those hard meters out of our end. And And that's the thing with Bradman. We haven't really seen the best of him in the attacking 20, but we all know that'll come. Like that, we all know that's there. It's the other stuff with Brady that'll turn him from being great into one of the best centers in the game.
Down the blind, Andrew John. Inside for Albert. Albert will score.
Just before we do sort of wrap it up for this episode, we sort of don't generally talk too much about what's going on in the rest of the comp, but I think this weekend in particular, it's really hard to overlook, particularly some of the results, because as we've sort of said, no one's undefeated at this stage. There's only going to be one team at most on four wins after the first five rounds, which is just unheard of. But I think the Panthers losing to a bipolar Sea Eagles team absolutely warrants mention. And I think the Tigers not crashing back down to earth, but giving us all a reminder that the NRL is at times a week-to-week proposition. But off the back of that, seeing what the Dolphins are doing by staying up the top there with some really good wins under their belt to kick off the season. Mate, the NRL is just delivering in ways that every single year they continue to surprise. I mean, the Storm v Broncos game on Thursday, what the fuck was that? Particularly from a Storm team, needing 34 points to win because they've conceded 32. That's insane. And we're just seeing games now that despite best efforts, the game keeps finding a way to produce these games, these outcomes, this analysis that's just so compelling. Like you cannot turn away from it. And, the chaotic nature of it, if I want to bring it back to the Knights, I said to you during the week, can we just do competent? Can the Knights just aim for competent? If we can aim for competent, the way this season's going, the way this comp is, that may well be enough to give you a shot when the season matters. We're seeing remarkable results as the round closes out.
There's a legitimate chance that the minor premiers might be 16-8.
Yeah,
it might be minor premiers 16-8.
Like
Wooden Spoon 8-16.
Well, I was just going to say, so like the 2018 season where there was one win between first and eighth.
Yeah, like there's a legitimate chance that you might be three wins off the minor premiers and miss the eight comfortably. That's how close this season's going to be. Because Penrith is still Penrith, Brisbane are still good, but there's no elite team. There's no team where you look at it and go, they're just the best. There's not that team doesn't exist. The team down the bottom, like the Tigers, the Dogs, are all better than the Dragons. They're all better than they were last year, but still not there yet. But they're all better. The teams in the middle, I've got no idea what's going on. I could not tell you who's going to. I could probably tell you the teams are going to finish between 6th and 15th, but I have no idea what order they're going to finish.
What order they're going to be.
Yeah.
Is it panic? It's not panic stations for a team that's won three in a row, made four grand finals, but are the cracks starting to appear with the Panthers? 32-18 is fairly convincing. You boys mentioned in the chat that they sort of, I think they put the queue in the rack with minutes to spare. Is that a sign of anything, or is that just a sign of a team that had a bad day at the office and don't have their best player in?
No, Cleary, Brookvale, big DCA occasion. Like it was set for an ambush. That was just ambush. That had ambush written all over. Like the smart punters, that little sneaky bit on Manly yesterday, on your Bretto, what up, mate? It was just
screenshots on Twitter, or it didn't happen, Bretto.
it just screamed ambush, didn't it? You know, like it just. That's exactly what that was. I no concerns of Penrith, but as I said, they're not what they were. The 2021 Penrith would murder this team this year. Brisbane, we don't know until everyone's back. They haven't really had the best team on the park yet, but I don't think they're what they were. They're good, but I will never trust a team coach by Kevin Walters. The Roosters are about where they were last year. They'll make the eight probably, but won't really compete. Melbourne are about where they were last year.
Their forwards aren't. They're slowly deteriorating.
Their forward pack's garbage. Like it's legitimately garbage. Like if I said you can have one Melbourne forward, Eli Katoa's the one. But would you take anyone else? No, you know, like Harry obviously, but do I mean running forwards? Yep. No, like it's just, it's such an even cop. Parramatta, who knows? Like I don't rate them, but they've got you know, great halves. I'd have no idea where this season's headed, and we're the same with that. Like we can legitimately finish anywhere from 3rd to 12th, I reckon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
And I have no idea where we fit in.
Hey, we're going to talk about the Warriors South game as well, without mentioning, without having to discuss Luttrell. We can leave that to everyone else. What I do want to talk about is, you and I said our concerns about the Warriors going in this season was, does SJ stay onto his form? He's doing that. And how does Andrew Webster handle the second year coaching syndrome? And he seems to have prepared his team and adapted accordingly fairly well. So it seems like Adam O'Brien and Andrew Webster have managed to do the, you know, disciples of the great coaches quietly on their own, while others have been more heavily promoted, but, you know, not sort of aimed up. But I think what the Warriors are producing so far is, you know, bodes well for them for the rest of the season.
I tell you how I know Andrew Webster's a great coach. So basically, I might be wrong, but the feeling I've got from the Warriors this year, they've basically had the idea of, we hope SJ doesn't regress, but he's getting older. Last year was an elite year, one of the best years of his career, in his 30s. That's unlikely to happen again. So just in case that doesn't, when our attacks doesn't hum like it did last year, we're just going to defend our way to victory. And that's what they do. They did that against us, knowing that they've got enough attack in their team to get 20 every week. So their goal is, we'll get 20. Can you get 20? And that'll take any team a long way.
Can I ask you, is Wade Egan the most underrated hooker in the comp?
Or only because of injuries. It's only because he hardly ever plays. If he had a fit run of the last 4 years, he'd be up there with the elite. To me, he's as good as Abby Corrissau, but would never get the plaudits until he puts, you know, season after season together.
No, 100% agreed. But again, I think that's another case where the Warriors tend to be another case of out of sight, out of mind. You know, you guys are over in New Zealand.
Because he left Penrith, you know, when he was at Penrith, like coming through that Penrith system, they were happy to stay. As much as they had Appy, they thought that Wade Egan was going to have that job and Appy would move on. Yeah. It was only the fact that Wade couldn't stay fit and then Appy was so good that, yeah, Wade got moved on. But he's outstanding. Like, he'll play Origin for sure if he stays fit over next year or two.
Just before we do sign off as well, you know, everyone else has talked about it, so we'll mention it as well. 9,500 immortal souls showed up for Newcastle. Oh, sorry, Newcastle and Saints, actually. There were a lot of Saints fans there. Credit to everybody who did. Mate, granted, Sydney is a city of 4.5 million, but I still think as well the 7,000 who went to the Bulldogs-Roosters game as well, good on you, but I think they deserved a lot more that did show up. But just credit to everybody who travelled around in awful, awful conditions on Friday night to go and watch two cracking games of football. You really did remind everybody, in case we'd forgotten, why rugby league does have the best fans in world sport.
And a big credit to the people that work at the stadiums, you know, whether it's the ground staff or security or the ushers. Like, it's horrific work in those sort of conditions. And you can't get paid enough, but, yeah, they just do the job and no one cares.
Last thought for the session, Bretto. Thoughts on the crowd on Thursday?
I think it would be good. Thursday will limit it, but it'll be over 20. I'd have a crack at 22, I reckon.
Do you reckon 25 is a chance? If only because what we saw on Friday. I still think there was a bit of hesitation about round one. Like, we got 23,000 there in round one, but I still think Thursday night, everyone sort of went...
You'll get the Roosters fan bonus because, you know, there are plenty of clingers onto the Roosters. So you'll get more Roosters fans than we got Raiders fans. Absolutely. 25, don't have the question. I think that, as I said, Thursday limits it. But, yeah, 20, I would say 22. But, yeah, 25, don't have the question.
Let's get out there. Let's support the boys. Let's see if we can break our losing streak to the Roosters and kick on for the rest of the season. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. It's always a pleasure to talk to you about rugby league, especially the Knights, and enjoy the rest of the round.
Thanks, guys.
Sports Best Friends would like to thank you for listening right to the end. You are our kind of people. Find other great sports podcasts in our family by subscribing. And remember, social media isn't a bad place. You just need to follow the right people.